You know, if I did the same thing every single day for the rest of my life, I'd only be the best at skills that do not serve me unless I were skilled in others. It's a good thing that I'm back because this opens up opportunity and room for more. I've grown as much as I possibly could from this experience. I'm ready for something new.
You want to talk about what that something new is?
Maybe I'll do a victory lap or something, I don't know.
I read something about a book.
I'll write a book. But after the book, there'll be more. But I don't like to talk about things before I do them too much. Sometimes you just need to start something and do it. In the beginning of this, there were a lot of people that didn't really see the bigger picture. I had told a lot of people about what my plans were and what I was going to do. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. But there were a lot of people as well that had encouraged me. I had capsized the canoe only one time in the entire journey, and it was 7 days in. It was about 100 miles that way.
No, it was a Royal.
I almost drowned that day.
It was a typing class then in high school. I got straight A's because I was typing at 50 words a minute when I started.
That was a very difficult day for me.
Choir typing for all of us.
And on that day, there were a lot of people that came out of the woodwork to discourage me from continuing. But then again, there were also a lot of people that encouraged me to continue with good wisdom. I kept going, and here I stand 480 days later on the same beach that I started on, having circumnavigated the eastern United States in a canoe.
Here's one more.
So today's the anniversary of the crash. You were talking a little bit about with the crowd. There are a lot of people in our audience that don't know anything about that. Can you, I guess, walk us through what happened and how that totally changed the trajectory of your life?
Yeah. 10 years ago, I was run over by a car while hiding in a pile of leaves. October 20th, 2015.
I've been telling Jim.
And I had shattered my spine, and I was forced to relearn how to walk. I was put on a lot of restrictions in my life that had robbed a lot of my childhood. And I was told many things that I would never be able to do again. In fact, that there was a large fear in my family that I wouldn't even be able to walk at all due to fear of being paralyzed. Because of the Beacon House organization that housed my family, I was able to see my loved ones through the recovery. I spent about a month in the hospital and had a month and a half in a wheelchair and 6 months in a walker and a year and a half of physically intensive rehab. And even years after that, I had struggled with issues, and even to this day, I suffer from chronic back pain, which is something that I've struggled through the entirety of this voyage. The accident was a lot of inspiration for going out to do this journey, because I didn't want to succumb to victimhood of my circumstances, that because of the pain in my body that I couldn't control, or because the rods in my spine and my leg, or because of my broken spine, that I wouldn't be able to do things. And so I went out there despite that, and I made the best of it. I pushed through challenges and I pushed through physical limitations. There have been many days that I have pushed 12 to 14 hours straight without stopping, and you'd be out there in grueling agony, and you just do it for the simple gratitude that you can. Because if I stayed here in Escanaba and I didn't do those things, then I would have succumbed to my own victimhood. I would have done nothing with the life that I've been given despite all of my shortcomings. But by going out there and proving something to myself that I could, that I can, so I will. In 2021 was my first expedition. I rode a unicycle across the United States. I raised $34,000 for the Beacon House. And then I did over half of the Great Loop in 2022 to 2023, 4,700 miles over 11 months. I've already done more than half of this route before I even started it. So when I started this one, I decided to do it in the opposite direction, the wrong way. This has taken 16 months. A full ascent from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes, took me just about 2 months. It was over 1,000 miles that I paddled against the current. That was among some of the hardest things that I've ever done. I am proud to stand here. And lastly, I'd like to give a tribute to Verlin Kruger, the man who designed and built this canoe behind me. Him and his son, Steve Landick, were the first, and up until now, only people to have ever done a clockwise circumnavigation of the eastern United States in a canoe. It was part of a journey that they had done called the Ultimate Canoe Challenge that spanned 28,000 miles. Their loop was about 8,000. So it was a small fraction of what they had done in total. And being able to follow in their footsteps and recreate this route and be the third person to have ever clockwise circumnavigated in the same canoe, same model canoe it was done in the first time built by Verlin Kruger, has been a real honor. And I would love to be able to give that tribute to them, because without them there would have been no inspiration for this journey at all. So, thank you to Verlin and to Steve for their efforts to going out there and following their passions so that they could pave the way for young explorers of the future. I'm happy to play a small part in that continuum.
Can I ask, how did you learn about that?
It's just history. You pick it up here and there, talk to many different people.
There are quite a few young kids here. What do you hope that young people looking up to you, watching you, learn from what you've been doing?
Just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. I dress like a pirate because that's how I felt like I was on the inside. I felt that I resonated with a world that had existed 300 years ago. And it wasn't about being a pirate, but it was more about the time period. And being able to use the skills that I had to make my own clothes and to preserve my foods and do those kinds of things had been a very educational and historical value to me to once again play part in that history. And I wanted to be able to play part in that, so I came out here to be myself. I came out here to hear my own thoughts, so I dressed like myself. I made clothes for myself. There was no branding or sportswear. It was me and slops and linen slops and clothes that had deteriorated off my body. These pants I made in December, almost a year ago, the shirt had dry rotted and the patches on the back just rips and tears from endless dry rot in the sun. I've been wearing these clothes every day and night since then, and they have survived just as I have. So if there's anything I want young children to be able to pull from this is that one, you can do things for yourself and you can be yourself in this very, very monotonous world, sometimes very monotonous world. We lose touch with that because we always feel like we need to play a role or play a part in somebody else's story or to work for somebody else's gain or fight somebody else's battles. The beautiful thing about what I had just done, what we had just done, was that I had fought my own battle and I won. It was beautiful because I didn't have to. A lot of people have to fight battles, and a lot of times those battles aren't their own. So I find it to be a beautiful thing to be able to charge into your own battle. There's a quote that goes, "A man's finest moment comes when he lies exhausted on the field of battle victorious." That will be all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting us.